All right, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew today.
Matthew chapter 7, let's begin reading at verse 24. You can follow with me in your Bible if you would please. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your kindness and for your mercy, for your love and for your grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to gather together on this Lord's Day morning. Thank you for everyone that you've brought our way, my Father, that are here in this place, that you might speak to our hearts and encourage us and strengthen us, help us to know the truth and let it, as that truth will make us free. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those watching and listening, that you might speak to their hearts as well. We don't know what every person needs, but you do, and I pray you administer to us all by your word, by your spirit, and that by your spirit you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive. And I pray, Lord, you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And Father, we'll certainly give you all the praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, we see that there are rains and floods and winds that represent those things which come into our lives that threaten our homes, our families, and cause them sometimes to crumble and crash. We need to build our house, as Jesus says here, or our lives, if you will, or our family on a solid rock, as opposed to building on sand. We see that the solid rock upon which we are to build our lives and our families is the Word of God. That's what Jesus said here. He says, "These sayings of mine. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock." So Jesus is saying, if you're going to build your life, if you're going to build your family, build them upon the sayings of me, Jesus said. And that'll be like building your house on a rock. Since the Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the Word, then that solid rock would of necessity be the Lord Himself. He has given us His written word, and here in Matthew chapter 7 and elsewhere, we find His spoken words becoming His written words. Jesus said that to honor Him was to honor the Father. Also, to honor the written word is to honor the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons, I guess, for the Bible Museum is to honor the written word, which, by doing so, honors the living Word, the Lord Jesus Himself. Now, inherent in honoring the Word in our chapter is the idea of being a doer. Isn't that what He said? "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man." Is that what it said? To build his house on a rock? No, he said this. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." There's a big difference between hearing his sayings and doing his sayings, isn't there? He didn't say, "You're a wise man building on a rock just hearing his sayings." He said, "You're a wise man building on a rock if you do his sayings." And this brings the blessings of God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. "For them that honor me," God says, "I will honor." John 14, 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And isn't keeping his commandments doing? And there are blessings associated with this as well. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Did you see that? Mercy is the benefit of keeping the commandments or being a doer of the sayings. Six times this is mentioned. It's mentioned by Moses. It's mentioned by Daniel. And it's mentioned by David that mercy comes unto them that love God and keep his commandments. Many times throughout our Christian lives, we may wonder why things aren't going the way we'd like them to go, or why are they going the way they are? I mean, this isn't what we were looking for, hoping for. This isn't what we supposed it would be like. Things don't seem to be working. There doesn't seem to be peace, love, harmony, perhaps in your own heart, perhaps in your home, perhaps in relationships. I believe that many, if not most, of these and other ailments are the direct result of not being doers. Oh, it's not that we're not busy. Oh, we're busy. But being busy isn't the same, and it's not synonymous with being a doer. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So many times we're reading the word, we're hearing the word, but if we aren't doing the word, we're not blessed in our deed. The word of God has quite a bit to say about the subject of being doers and of doing. Let me show you some things that might, just might, be a help that can bring blessings into your life and blessings into your family, and thereby, as a result, bring blessings into the church. Number one, my first point this morning is what to do. Did you ever wonder what to do? Indeed, the New Testament is cram-packed full of things that we as Christians are, we as born-again ones, we as children of God should be doing. The purpose of this message is not to outline all of them. That would be something that would probably take years. And that's why it's so important to come to church. Because each time you come, you get a little more, and you get a little more, and you get a little more, and you get a little more. And you are responsible to be a doer. And if you don't hear what you're supposed to do, it doesn't absolve you from doing it. Because God gave us his word. My purpose today is to show you a few things from the word of God that can prove to be a guide through life and a source of power to be more efficient as the doers we're called to be. God is calling everyone in this room to be a doer. He's got something for you to do. He's got a plan for your life.
That's right. Amen.
Just this week, I did a funeral for a nine-month-old. I didn't do the funeral, but I somehow got to preach at it. But that's a whole other story. There were 20 people there. Six of them got saved. Now listen to me. Because of the death of this little baby, God brought together a group of people that would have never gotten together any other way. And a group of people heard the gospel that might not have heard the gospel any other way. And that little baby, in 9 months, fulfilled all of God's will for her life on planet Earth. If the only reason she was here was to bring these people together so that six people could get saved and went home to be with heaven and with Jesus in heaven, she fulfilled all. That's something none of us will do. Do you understand me? None of us will do that because we've already failed. We've been around long enough to not fulfill His will. We've been around long enough not to be a doer of this and not to be a doer of that. But at 9 months, she did everything God wanted her to do. Her whole life accomplished God's will. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because we are here and have an opportunity. If you're here, God's still got something for you to do. If you're a child of God, He's got something for you to do. A plan. In Matthew chapter 7 here, verse 24, I'm going to share with you several things. First of all, he says in verse 24, these sayings of mine, that means the word of God. Now, what will doing what Jesus says bring to us? Verse 24 says wisdom. If you'll just do what Jesus says to do, he says it will bring us wisdom. A wise man, says Jesus, is one who does what Jesus says. Isn't that wise? So if Jesus says, here, build your house on a rock, and you say, no, I'm going to go over here and build on the sand, are you wise or are you foolish? You're foolish. But if you do what Jesus says and you build your house on a rock, now you're wise. You did a wise thing. And what does he say here? He says, build your house on solid rock. You know, we can build our lives on worldly wisdom, our own opinions or desires. We can build our lives on the secular advice of experts, the philosophers of men, the counsel of friends and family, or we can build it on the Word of God. Which one does Jesus say is wise? Which one does Jesus say is the solid rock? So if you want to be wise, do what Jesus says.
Amen.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's not always simple to do. Number two, James chapter 1, verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, here it is, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So what is promised to the doer here? Blessing. He'll be blessed in his deed. In other words, what you do will be blessed. If you'll get in this book, and you'll live according to what this book tells you and the sayings of Jesus. He said, I'll bless what you do. Don't you want to have your deeds blessed by God?
That's right.
Then be a doer of the work. What work? The work of His Word. What He's told us to do. Number three, James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So what's promised to us here? Not being deceived. It's one thing to be deceived by others, but it's quite another thing to be deceived by ourselves. The Bible says the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? You know what God's saying? He's saying your heart lies to you. Your human heart, your human emotions, your human side, your sinful nature lies to you. And if we're not in the book, if we don't know what Jesus says, then who are we going to listen to? We're going to listen to our heart, and our heart will deceive us. It says doers of what you hear from the Word of God. It says be doers of the what? Word. Not what you hear from talking heads and media pundits or any other of the multitude of voices that are clamoring for your ear. But the Word of God. How can we have success in life, let alone the Christian life? And let me say that. The Christian life is unlivable except by the power of God. But how are we going to be successful to Christian life if we allow ourselves to be deceived because we hear the Word of God, but then we turn around and fail to do what the Word of God says? So when I was a little boy, I was a crossing guard. It was cool. We were the cool guys. And we had these poles. We stood on the corner with a pole, big long pole. And on the top it had a red flag that said stop. There was a guy on that corner, and here I am on my corner. I had a white belt that went around my waist, and a cross like this. And it had a shiny medal on it, big old shield like a policeman. And when the kids would come, I'd take that pole and I'd put it down, and they all had to stand behind that pole. And whenever it was safe, I'd nod to the guy across. I'd put my pole out this way. He'd put his pole out this way, and the kids could go across. So if I'm standing there with my pole, and I said, stop, to the kids, and the kids said, I ain't listening to you. Who do you think you are? And went around that pole and got hit with a car. Who was wise and who was foolish? And yet we do that with God. We know God said it. And we ought to do what he said to do, but we don't do it. We do something else. And we get hit by a car. Then we get mad at God. You see, it's called application. Putting into practice in our daily lives that which we hear from the pulpit on Sunday and Wednesday and that which we learn in our daily Bible readings. So folks, are you having a daily Bible reading? There are so many days when I'm busy and I don't want to take that time to read the Bible. But then I say to myself, if I don't take the time to read my Bible, I'm not going to get everything done I need anyway. I'm not going to have God's blessing. I'm not going to have God's wisdom. I'm not going to have God's discernment. Number four, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's the promise here? The promise that if you gather together, you'll hear the word of God. What does the hearing of the word God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what does the word of God do? It tells you what to do. And when you do what the word tells you to do, you are blessed. So if you don't come, guess what? You can forfeit a blessing. Didn't God say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? Is that a commandment? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Are we doers? You are this morning. Look at all these doers. But you're going to be a doer next Sunday. And you're going to be a doer the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that. The ministry is not for your convenience, but for your comfort. The live stream ministry isn't for your convenience. The live stream ministry and the radio ministry isn't so you can sit home with your fuzzy slippers on with a cup of coffee and watch. That's not what the live stream ministry is for. The live stream ministry is for those who cannot get here, but would or should or could. The live stream ministry is for those people who maybe they don't have a Bible-believing church in their area that they can get to. But you forsake the assembling of yourselves together whenever you don't come, when you can, when you could, and when you should. So when you forsake the assembling, you're forfeiting. Number five, John 13, 17. If you know these things, listen. If you know these things, you know, I meet so many people that say, well, I've read the Bible 10 times. I know people that can quote Bible verses, lots of Bible verses. But the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. See that? You can know all the Bible you want to know, but if you're not doing what you know, you're not happy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is grieved. And the Holy Spirit is quenched. And you can smile, but you don't have the joy of the Lord. Just as wisdom is found in the doing, and blessings are found in the doing, happiness is found in the doing of what Jesus says. True happiness or joy is found in the filling of the Holy Spirit. So even though you may be a hearer and know a bunch of what the Bible says, the Holy Spirit only produces the true joy or happiness when you're doing it. Number six, John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You know, the world is awash in false doctrine. What is promised to us here? Discernment. The ability to know sound doctrine, to tell the difference between false teaching and true teaching, comes with being a doer. It is not the knowing of His will that brings discernment. It's the doing of His will. And number seven, Luke 6:38. The Bible says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. What promise is here? Financial blessing. When speaking of tithing, the Lord Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 24:23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. And a lot of people put a period right there and say, see, tithing, I don't have to do that. I just have love, mercy, and compassion. But Jesus didn't put a period there. He said, judgment, mercy, and faith, these ye ought to have done, and not left the other undone. You see, judgment, mercy, and faith are not a replacement for giving. And giving isn't a replacement for them. We're supposed to do them both. That's being a doer. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Tithing works. It works because God said it would. It might not make sense to the secular accounting, but it works. We keep back the tithes and wonder why we cannot make ends meet. We say to ourselves, how in the world are we going to make it if we tithe when we can hardly make ends meet as we are? Not tithing. That's the miracle of it. Oh, ye of little faith. The miracle of it is trusting God. The miracle of it is being a doer of what God said and trusting God for the blessing. And He'll do it. I promise you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Haggai 1:6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with a hole. You ever wonder where all your money's going? If it goes to God, he'll sew the holes in your pockets. I promise you. You see, my wife and I have tithed ever since we learned about it. When we got saved, before we got saved, we were Presbyterians. We didn't know anything. Except, that's all we knew, okay? We got saved. We went back to the Presbyterian church, dead as a doornail. We finally went to a Baptist church. And it was like, whoa. And then we heard about tithing. And we went, whoa. Tithing. That was like, sounded like crazy stuff. I mean, 10%? Yeah, that's tithing. Went home, looked at each other. Did God say to do it? Yep, we're doing it. Ever since we learned about tithing, we have tithed. Even in our most difficult financial years, we tithed. And we and our children actually at times went without in order to tithe. And we wouldn't change it for the world. We have been so blessed of God. I preach not on tithing for my benefit, but for your benefit. Because I know that if you would step out by faith and tithe, God will bless you.
Amen.
So God told us what to do. He told us what would happen if we did it. He made promises to the doers. So if you're not a doer, then don't think you have a right to claim the benefit of the promise. Everybody likes to spout the promises, but the promises are hooked to doing. All right, point number two. Won't be as long. Well, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. Number two, what can we do? Throughout all the years of my ministry, I've heard Christians say, I can't. About all kinds of things. But you can. God said you can. Philippians 4:13, we love this verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But before that, Paul wrote this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So you got verse 9 saying, the things you've seen and heard in me, do. And then he says, you can do all things. Paul's saying, you can do what I do. You can do what I preach. How? By Christ that strengthens you. What's the result of doing here? Says the peace of God. Doers have peace because they can, and they do. You say you can't. God says you can. Someone's lying. I don't think it's God. Paul thought that he couldn't go on while being in, by bearing this thorn in the flesh, but he realized he could after prayer. And he wrote this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. I've got this. I've got that. And God said, now this is me. Ignorant me. God said, shut up. You can do it. How? How am I going to do it, Lord? How am I going to do it? God said, by my grace. I'm not asking you, Paul, I know you have a thorn in the flesh. I wouldn't ask you to do these things if I wasn't going to enable you to do them. Paul said, I can't. God said, you can. Paul believed God, and Paul did. You see the pattern? Earlier he had written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency and power may be of God and not of us. We are so weak, we are so small, we are so puny, we are so limited. And God said, yeah, that's just what I like to work through. Why? Because when I do something great through somebody like that, I get all the glory. God knows you can't, but he said you can through Christ. It strengthens you. Paul reminded the Philippians in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. So God says that as earthen vessels with faults, frailties, and weaknesses, we can't, but by his grace and his power working in us, we can. It's he who can enable us to be doers of everything he's asked us to do. Now, listen, sometimes I had to change a tire on my car in the old days. And I had these two little girls. They were about 9, 10 years old. I didn't go out and say, would you go out and lift the car up so I can turn the tire? Why wouldn't I do that? Because I know she can't do it. God's not going to ask. He knows what you can do. He knows what you can't do. But he said, you can do all things. You can do everything I want you to do through Christ which strengthens you. When contemplating the building of the temple, Zerubbabel had some reservations which were swept away by God. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Zerubbabel said, Lord, I can't do this. God said, yes, you can. Because I'm going to enable you. I'll provide everything you need to get it done. You can because God can. Jesus said in Mark 10:27, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. So you're over here saying, I can't. Well, why don't you get over here with God? And he said, when you get with God all things are possible.
Amen.
The problem is you're trying to do it, and you can't. You're right. But with God, all things are possible. Just get on his side. God says, do, and then he reaches out his hand to take hold of us and enables us to do it. Isn't he great? Lastly, why we don't do. Well, this could be another entire sermon itself, but I'm just going to do a couple points. Today, I just want to give you a few ideas of why we don't be doers. Why don't we be doers? Number one, fear. We're afraid. We're afraid to trust God. We're afraid to step out. We're afraid to put ourselves out there. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sometimes we're just afraid to try. Sometimes we're just afraid to trust. And sometimes we're just afraid we'll fail. And so we don't be doers. Number two, love. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The word keep is tereo. It means, it's a military term, which means to fulfill a command. That means to be a doer, doesn't it? If your sergeant says, answer the telephone, you do it. If your commander says, open the door, you do it. If your commander says, go over there and stand for 15 minutes, give me 10, you do it. That's what that word means. And Jesus is saying, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Sometimes it's a matter of love, or should I say a lack of love. That's why we don't. We're not doers, because we don't really love the Lord like we think we do or say we do. Sometimes it's a matter of loving someone else more than Jesus. Sometimes it's a matter of loving ourselves more than Jesus. Sometimes it's a matter of loving something else more than Jesus. That's what we don't do. And number three, sometimes we're just liars. We're liars. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. And afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which one did the will of the Father? The first one. He said, nah. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry. And he went and did. The other one said, yes, sir, I'll do it, and never even went. Sometimes we're like the son who said he would and he didn't. We come to church and we say amen. We come to the altar and we pray, and then we walk out the doors and do not. We come and talk with the pastor. We ask for advice, then walk out and do not. Sometimes we only do what we really want to do and not what we should do. And sometimes we only heed the advice that we agree with. We're like that son. I love you, Lord, but I'm not going to do that. I don't love you enough to do that. Well, I love you, but not that much. Sometimes we say, yeah, I'll do it, and then we don't. You know, it is interesting. I received a Facebook post. It said something like this. Don't tell me you can't do what God has told you to do. Tell me it's hard, or tell me that it hurts, or tell me it's inconvenient, or tell me you just don't want to do it, but don't tell me you can't. You get it? If God said do it, you can do it. God told us what to do. He said we can do it, and only you really know why. You don't do it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As we think about some things which we heard today, I just want to ask you a couple questions as Christians. What is it that you have been saying you can't do, but deep inside you know that it's just an excuse for not doing it? Maybe you need to come this morning to the altar and be honest with God. Perhaps, dear Christian, you missed the joy, the happiness, the blessing, the discernment, the peace, and the power that only the doing can bring. Why don't you come this morning and talk to God, determined to be a doer, not just a hearer? But maybe you're here today, you're watching, you're listening, and you've never been saved. Romans 2:13 says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." The Jews were great at hearing what the law required of them, but pathetic at actually doing it. As a matter of fact, the law was given to show us our need, to show us that we are incapable of perfectly and consistently keeping it. That's why we need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became a man like as we are, yet without sin, who kept every jot and tittle of the law and then gave himself his sinless life as a sacrifice for sin on the cross and shed his sinless blood as the payment for sin and rose again from the dead. The Bible says he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And the Bible says he's the propitiation. That means satisfactory payment for our sins. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Maybe this morning there's someone in this room that would say, "Preacher, I need to get saved. I need to quit trusting religion and quit trusting my own self and deeds and people and things and money. I need to trust Jesus to forgive my sins and be my Savior right now in my seat. Right where I'm sitting in my seat, I want to do that." And we'll do it. We can pray together. And you, by faith, can trust Jesus to be your Savior right now in your seat. You say, "Preacher, I'd like to do that." Would you look up at me? You're looking up at me and you're saying, "Preacher, I want to pray. I want to ask Christ to be my Savior. I don't want to die and go to hell." Anybody like that? Don't keep looking up until I see you. Is that what you need to do? All right. 1 minute. Let me see if there's someone else. Looking up until I see you. All right. Now listen, it's not a magic prayer. It's a prayer of faith. And if you believe in your heart what we pray right now, God sees it as faith. Will forgive your sins and save your soul. Say something like this to the Lord. "Dear God, I confess to you I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. But I believe Jesus came and died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for my sins and rose again. And right now, right here, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you to forgive my sins. I'm asking you to come into my heart as my Savior. I'm not trusting anyone or anyone else, just you." If you prayed that prayer and meant in your heart, would you look up at me? On the authority of God's word, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Congratulations. You are born of God today. You are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Anyone else here prayed that prayer? I want you to raise your hand. Anybody else here today prayed that prayer? I want you to raise your hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We love you, Lord, for loving us. And Father, thank you for being so long-suffering with us. Lord, we're supposed to be doers, and we don't always do. We always can, but we sometimes say we can't. Help us to see the difference and help us to love you and serve you and be doers. Fulfill your will in our lives. Let us do what you put us on this planet to do. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to close our our service today with number 477. Where he leads me, I will follow. 477. Now listen, dear Christian, why don't you come this morning, talk to the Lord about something that he's talked to you about. Spend a moment at the altar. He's called you to do something. Come and at least give yourself to do it. There's something he's asked you to do. You said you can't. Why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, you said I can, and by your grace, I'm going to start out to do it, to get it done. And listen now, if you got saved today, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to step out of wherever you are. I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me at the front, and let's let everybody know that you trusted Jesus as your Savior today. All right? Let's do that as we sing on the first.